It's a bird. It's a plane. It's an open source SoC dev kit that fits in your USB port. Hey, everybody. Let's get this party started. Welcome to Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, an electronic engineering podcast brought to you by EEJournal.com and written, produced, and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. Hey guys, I have an exciting episode of Fish Fry to throw your way this week. Longtime friend of the show, Brian Faith, CEO of QuickLogic, joins me to talk about Qwomu, the open source SoC dev kit I spoke of earlier. How this new dev kit was developed under the QuickLogic Open Reconfigurable Computing Initiative, and all the cool stuff included in this kit. But before we bring in Brian, it's time for a little Kickstarter Corner. Now, here on Fish Fry, we love our 3D printing. I have lost count the number of 3D printing stories that I have reported on over the years. But folks, this one is a first of its kind. 3D printing holograms. Yes, don't you want to make your very own holograms? I know I do. And not only that, with the help of this new Kickstarter campaign, you can also create holographic portraits, holograms from 3D computer graphics, CAD designs, and 3D art. So let me introduce you to the first desktop 3D hologram printer by Litty Holo. So there are a couple different elements that are key to this Kickstarter campaign. How the 3D printing works, the unique materials used in the process, and the inputs needed to make the holograms of your dreams. So first, how it works. At the center of this new 3D hologram printer is what is called a hogle, or hologram element, which are the individual pixels that have been sliced from images into unique recordings. So, the 3D printer takes multiple perspective images, slices those up into hogles, and then the printer optically encodes that information with laser light onto the special hologram films. So, according to this Kickstarter campaign, the material that makes up these film plates needs no extra post-processing or developing materials. These plates are actually self-developing. So as the film is exposed, it develops at the same time. And when the exposure is complete, the result is a clear, bright hologram that can be viewed immediately. All right, so you have a 3D printer and you want to start on your own hologram printing adventure. Well, you're going to need to do a simple set of perspective images, which provides the 3D viewpoints, or look-around, information. This can come from a variety of different sources, including Sketchfab, smartphone, 3D capture apps, video panaround, which will allow you to capture a video with your unique device, following their specific guidelines, 3D software rendering, or even some simple camera tools, including a camera slider, dolly shot, or rail capture. Now, if you don't have any of the above, you can also get a hologram capture rail unit from this Kickstarter campaign as well. In addition to that capture rail unit, you may want to add a couple extra accessories to your 3D hologram printing adventure, including a hologram display unit that allows you to stylishly show off your holograms, and extra film plates, both of which are available from this campaign, but you can also buy the plates from LittyHolo.com as well. So, these bad boys aren't cheap. For $999, you can get your own 3D hologram printer, plus some of those self-developing film plates. This campaign level is only for US and Canada only. For an international order, it will cost you a bit more at $1,199. Sadly, the super early backer 3D hologram printer that was included at a pledge level of $800 has already been snatched up. So, if you're intrigued, I'd check out this campaign sooner than later. So below the player on this week's fish frying page on eejournal.com, I've included a direct link to this Kickstarter campaign with more information about how this 3D hologram printer was created, a video of it in action, and even more pledge options. All right, it's time to bring in Brian Faith and the amazing Qomu, which is turning FPGA development on its head in more ways than one. Let's go. Hi, Brian. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Amelia. It's great to be here.
Okay, so we're talking about Qomu today, an open source SoC dev kit. But before we dig into the details, Brian, for my audience who may not know, what is QuickLogic all about?
That's a great question. So we are a fabless semiconductor company. We started as an FPGA company many moons ago, and we still do that today, but we do it in many different forms. So we have embedded FPGA IP that we license to people. We use it ourselves in our FPGAs and in our SoCs, which we'll talk a little bit more about in the context of Qomu. And then we acquired an AI software platform company called Sensimal, which was a spin out of Intel a couple of years ago. And they sort of round out our full stack of offerings of IP, devices, and AI software. So you can kind of see the products line up for us to be enabling more intelligence at the edge or endpoints, primarily in battery-powered devices like hearables and wearables and smartphones and lots of different IoT gadgets. That's what we are.
Cool. Okay. So, Brian, I was really interested in the open source aspect of Qomu, and I saw that it has been optimized for the QuickLogic Open Reconfigurable Computing Initiative. So first, can you tell me a bit about this and what were your goals in developing this initiative?
That's a really good question. And to answer that, I have to actually rewind the clock a couple of years where we ran into this chap at Google at a trade show, and he was basically trying to convince us that we should not use proprietary FPGA tools anymore and use open source ones instead. And it piqued my interest, and we talked for about a year before we got comfortable to take that leap. And we ended up taking that leap. And last year, we unveiled the QORC initiative, QuickLogic Open Reconfigurable Computing. And that's all about making software easier to use. It's about attacking a much bigger set of users around the world. And it's really about enabling the software engineer to use FPGA technology. I think if you look at FPGA technology in general, you really have to be an FPGA expert still to do it, coding in Verilog and VHDL. And a lot of the vision of the open source tools out there is to create so many layers of abstraction that you can actually be a software person and even programming in Python for that matter, and being able to effectively use programmable logic. So that's sort of the idea behind the initiative. As far as the goals go, our goals are pretty simple, but I think the magnitude can't be overstated. It's really to enable a user base that's like 1,000 times larger than exists today for FPGAs. And as I said, it means making hardware more like software. And if we can do that through this whole open source initiative, I think that's very possible. Our device today has a Cortex M4 microcontroller and it has FPGA in there. And so all of the tools that we're working with under this QORC umbrella are open source. So like Zephyr and FreeRTOS on the microcontroller, SymbaFlow, which is a really popular open source tool chain for FPGAs, and then Renode is a tool that allows you to emulate the whole thing. So our goals, again, very simple, increase the user base by 1,000x and doing that by making the hardware easier for the software engineer.
Very cool. So let's talk about Qomu. What's all included with this dev kit?
Well, actually, we crammed a lot of capability into something about the size of a dime. The board itself fits in your USB port, which is a really common port on laptops and PCs and whatnot. On the board itself is what we call EOS S3. So that's our device that has the Cortex M4 microcontroller and our embedded FPGA. It's small and it's low power. And the board has all the passive components, so you don't need to plug anything else to the board. You just need to connect it to USB and away you go. And to sort of showcase what the open source community can do with all the creativity and innovation they have, we don't have USB on our EOS chip. And so you kind of wonder, well, how do you connect it to a USB port then? And the answer is that really clever people created a USB interface out of the FPGA logic in the chip and made it compatible with the USB ports in computers and PCs and whatnot. And so that's how they made this whole thing work with this USB port. And again, in addition to the hardware, it's really about the software. And so all of the software I just mentioned under the Cork initiative works on Cuomo. So you plug it in, you fire up the software in your computer, and away you go.
That's awesome. Now, Brian, what kind of applications is this best suited for?
So unlike some of the development kits that we've done in the past that have sensors on them for specific use cases, Cuomo kind of goes the other direction, and we go sort of bare bones. We have our chip, we have the passives, you plug it into USB, and you can start writing software for it that's agnostic to the actual application. So we look at it from the point of view as more of a general purpose development kit that you can take with you wherever you go. Because I think whatever room you're in, or airplane or bus or anything you're on, you probably have a USB port somewhere. And if you have a USB port, you can basically start designing. That being said, a lot of the research today around AI and machine learning is to use a heterogeneous approach to solving these problems. And one of the cores in a heterogeneous approach could be an embedded FPGA that we have in our EOS S3. What that means is that Cuomo and our chip on there can allow you to sort of experiment and explore different ways of implementing AI and machine learning in our heterogeneous architecture like the one that we have. We've done some of these studies looking at Google's TensorFlow Lite for microcontroller for applications like human presence detection with a very low resolution image sensor. And we can demonstrate sort of a 5x performance increase or a 5x power decrease by offloading a lot of the heavy lifting of some of these machine learning algorithms to the embedded FPGA on the chip. What that basically means is you can do AI ML model development and exploration with Cuomo, again, wherever you go. Just plug it into your laptop if you're in the coffee shop, fire it up and start doing AI ML partitioning work between the FPGA and the processor wherever you are.
That's cool. Now, Brian, where should my audience go for more information about the Cuomo development kit?
So we actually have a microsite on our website. So if you go to quicklogic.com/Cuomo, Q-O-M-U, that page has all the details. And like our previous open source development kit, we launched this one, Cuomo, exclusively on CrowdSupply, which is a really popular site to launch innovative development kits. And then after the campaign period is done on CrowdSupply, we'll ship through CrowdSupply to people on there, or at that point in time, we'll sell it directly off our own website as well.
Well, Brian, it is time for your off-the-cuff question now. Since you haven't been on my show for a while, let's have a little COVID food question. So if you could have one meal right now or for dinner tonight, it doesn't matter if it's in another country, you need a passport to get there, the restaurant is closed, it's in another part of our country, what would you have?
Oh, that's an easy question, Amelia. And it's not just because you live in the Pacific Northwest.
Okay.
This would be freshly caught halibut off Homer, Alaska, filleted at the dock and barbecued at my campsite.
That sounds amazing, Brian.
It is amazing. I've done it and it's amazing.
And I think that's the very first quickly caught and then barbecued answer I have had to that question. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Brian. It's always a pleasure speaking with you.
Likewise, Amelia. Thank you for your time and having me on the show.
If you want even more information about QuickLogic's Cuomo, I would highly recommend checking out EE Journal Editor-in-Chief Kevin Morris's feature article called QuickLogic Opens Up FPGA Design, Open Source Tools Break with Convention. And you can find that article in the article section of eejournal.com or by simply clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page. Speaking of EE Journal, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EE Journal TFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, I dig it. You can follow me or us on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by me. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, or heck, you just want to chat, I promise I will respond. Shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of March 12th, 2021, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.